Thank you for taking the time to listen to this life-changing message from the Ministry of Faith Bible Chapel. We hope this message will encourage you in all parts of your life. At the end of this message, you will hear more information on how to contact our church family, as well as directions for you to visit us for any of our worship services. Until then, join us for the service in progress.
A lot of things that are said to us, but maybe three things that we can reflect on before we go into our communion time. This is called God's table. It's called the Lord's table. It's called the Last Supper. It's called the Lord's Supper. It's called the communion table. All of these things, and they all have meaning to them because each and every one of us know that what it means to come, especially on Thanksgiving evening, and share this bread and this cup, reflecting on all that God has provided for us. And there are really three things I want to pull out of this and bring them up on the PowerPoints and we talk about them. Number one, grace. Grace is an amazing subject. I don't know if we'll totally always understand grace. We put a meaning to it, and we kick this meaning around a lot. It's unmerited favor, but it's more than just unmerited favor. It's a gift. Grace is a gift that has come to us. And when you think about gifts, they're always good to receive. Everybody likes a gift. Everybody's getting ready to receive either gift cards or some kind of gift. Kids talk about gifts all the time. My daughters talk about gifts all the time, and they'll keep talking about them all the time. My one daughter called me today, and she said, well, I'll help you get gifts for mom, and this is how much money I think I need. And she said, and anything left over, I'm going to get myself something really nice. At least she was honest about it. But gifts are always good. And that's what grace is all about. In the book of Romans in chapter 3, and all throughout Romans, if you want to know something about grace, read that book, because that talks about grace a lot. But in Romans chapter 3, verses 23 and 24, it tells us that we all have sinned. We've all broken the lamps in our life. How many have broken a lamp in your life? I've broken more than a lamp. I remember breaking not only the lamp, but the marble top to the table that held the lamp. You know, and it was playing football in the living room and dining room combination in our house. I don't know if my mom ever found out who really did that. We kind of put it back together for a while, and it stood there for a while until the first time she cleaned it, which was within a day, and then it just fell apart. But I don't know if they all pointed at me that day or not. Combination wall. But grace, and it goes on to tell us about all have sinned and come and fall short of the glory of God, being separated from God, but it goes on to say that we were justified freely, though, as the end result, by His grace. Justified. Amplified version puts it this way, made upright or in right standing with God, fully brought into His grace without charge or payment or apparent reason. I like that last part on that of the Amplified. There's just really no rhyme or reason to why God would just freely bring us in for all that we've done against Him. You think about your own life. Maybe yours was a little bit different than mine, but I wasn't really seeking God, but found out that He was always seeking me for no apparent reason. You know, why would He want me? What could He do with me? But, you know, for no apparent reason. That's what grace is all about. And I don't know where you stand, but, you know, because of grace, you could stand right with God. Justified with God for no apparent reason. There doesn't have to be a reason. In other words, you don't have to make yourself good. You don't have to even fix things up, because we find out that it doesn't work that way. Again, in another version, it says God treats us much better than we deserve. That's what it means. So for no apparent reason, God treats us much better than we deserve. And it's all because of His grace. The book of Ephesians, it says, it's by God's grace that you have been saved through faith. Not the result of our own efforts, but God's great gift. And again, another version puts it this way: it's not something you've earned, it's not something you can brag about, that you've done something good, or that you've earned this right to stand before God. So grace is certainly reflected in that little video. Followed right along with grace is an invitation to the big table. An invitation to the big table. And there's a big table for each and every one of us. And there are so many analogies and types and shadows in both the Old Testament and then the revelations in the New Testament, how that's a good picture, to be invited to the big table, to be invited to where the Father is. The book of Revelation tells us that that is something all of us can look forward to, have made a commitment to Christ. Blessed are those who are called to the big table, or the marriage supper of the Lamb. That's the big table. Again, the Amplified Version says happy in place of blessed. Happy, or to be envied, are those. Did you notice how the envy of the one who was invited to the big table? Envied are those that are summoned or invited or called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. I look forward to that day. You know, but you know, looking forward to that day is almost as exciting, maybe. It comes a little bit close to understanding the excitement or the anticipation of the longing for that day is going to come. And I don't know if you picked this up, and maybe this is just something individually we could pick up things from the video, but when the storms went away, when the rain went away, the sun came back out, you know, and things changed. You know, there's coming a day when the rains will go away, the clouds will disperse, and the sun's going to come back, and things are going to change forever. It'll never be the same after that. There are rainy days now. There are stormy days. There are days we don't understand why things are happening the way they're happening, and we probably never will. But there's someday the rain's going to go away. The storm's going to go. The clouds are going to disperse. And Jesus Christ, the Son, is going to show up. And then the last thing I think is a good message to all of us. Don't mess up our name. Did you notice that? He said, there's one thing, don't mess our name up. And I think that's a charge to each and every one of us because of grace and because of the invitation and the great gift that God has offered to us and the promises that we have before us. I think we need to be more diligent in our commitment and our love for Christ and our commitment to serve Him and follow Him and be ambassadors for Him and to imitate Him in every way possible because of the Holy Spirit and by its power, that we don't want to mess His name up. I don't want to mess God's name up. I don't want to say I'm a Christian. I don't want to say His name and then do something that would be totally different than representing Christ whatsoever. 2 Timothy, the Lord knows those who are His, and all who belong to the Lord turn away from evil. If you belong to the Lord, there's a commitment to turn away from the old, to pursue the new. Turn away from the old ways of doing things, or the immaturity, if you will, the way we act in the world, and to turn to Him and follow Him. Then in Hebrews chapter 13, it says, let us offer through Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise to God, proclaiming our allegiance to His name. Proclaiming our allegiance to His name. So I don't want to mess His name up. None of us, I think, want to mess His name up. So tonight, as we're here just for a short time, as you know, the family of God, and just coming in to take time out of our schedules and just be together, and as we approach this table, which we're going to do, this table was set for all people. It really was. For all people. Christ died for all people, not just the few that maybe know Him here today. And maybe you might think that some reason you're excluded and some reason whatever you did is unrepairable. It's not. It doesn't matter what you've done. The grace doesn't have anything to do with merit on your side. There's no apparent reason why God would want you at his table or want you for eternity for the way we've acted toward him, but he does. I'm glad he does. I'm glad. I mean, the alternative to that eternal separation from the one who created us, there's no hope in that. So grace is offered tonight. If you've never received that great gift of grace that comes from God, it's by faith. You don't have to do anything about it. There's no joining of anything. And really, God's not even asked you to turn first from your old ways and then accept him. You can't do it that way. You don't turn away from your old ways and then accept him. You turn to him first. And then there's something that begins to happen. You just want to turn away from those things. There's something, there's a longing inside of you to draw nearer to God and to be so thankful for that grace. And that's what moves you then. That's what motivates you. That's where your passion is then, is that you fall in love with Jesus. And you want to talk about him. You want to brag about him. There was an interview, I just heard about an interview that Tim Tebow had, and someone had said something about mocking him for saying, talking about Jesus all the time. And his response was this. He said, you know, when you're in love with your wife, you want to talk about her all the time. When you're in love with Jesus, you want to talk about him all the time. Amen? It's just a natural thing. You will talk about it. You'll find some way in every conversation to somehow reflect that. It's not always by words. It's the way you respond. My first point here is grace. And because of that grace, there's an invitation that comes with it. He said, come. He said, all that are weary and heavy laden, worn down and beat up and been disappointed and been scarred in life, come. He said, all you've had your nose in the air for a long time, even you, come. Just come. He says to all people, come. You're invited. I want you to come. And this is just a prelude to all that we have before us. And then we want to make a commitment. God, as I do come, I don't want to mess your name up. Matter of fact, I want to proclaim your name. So let's bow our hearts before him for a moment. A couple things while we're just thinking about participating in this communion tonight. The way we'll do it is you'll come as you feel led. As an individual, I want you to feel that you're part of a big family, family of God. And there'll be people at each station that are be glad to serve you and pray with you if you want that, or if you want to pull off to the side and just pray and meditate and say a few words of thanks, you can do that. Families, we want you to come, receive the elements, and find a place in the worship center somewhere. You can go to your right or to your left or the steps here in front or to the sides, wherever you want to go. Just find some place with your family and take communion. But let's all take a moment right now and just begin to think of all the reasons we're thankful. I'm sure God will help you do that. The very fact that we're here in this building and able to celebrate this, we should be thankful. The very idea that you have an opportunity to grow in faith and grow in the knowledge of him who created you, and behold all his wonders, we should be thankful. And I know that some here tonight that this wasn't the best of years for you. In the natural. But still, I believe the Lord can lift your heart up, lift your spirits up, just to remind you of his grace and that invitation that you have, that the rain will go away, the clouds will disperse, the storm is going to pass, the sun is going to come shining, you'll be in his presence at the big table forever and ever and ever. So be thankful. Be thankful for the smallest things. Take a moment, just allow the words of thanksgiving to pass through your mind and your heart.
We hope that this message has spoken something personal to you. If you would like more information about our church family or service times, please call us at 303-424-2121 or visit us at our website, www.fbci.org. Faith Bible Chapel currently meets in our Family Worship Center, located on the corner of 62nd Avenue and Ward Road.